Faith part three tonight. Amen. Decided to show up, even though you knew I was going to be here. That's a good thing for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 is where we're going to start. And we'll do a brief review. Fix a tie up here. Hallelujah. Father, help us tonight to say what we need to say, to do what we need to do, Father. We're not here to just have a good service, to go through the motions, to fulfill some plan we have in our mind. No, you told Brother Hagin, Jesus, that you have a plan and a purpose for every service. And Lord, we want to hit that mark. We want to get this job done. We want to leave here tonight knowing we did what you had us to do. So speak through me, Father. My words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory for everything that's going to come out of this service, for everything that's going to be sown into us that will show up in our lives. And we'll thank you for it. It's only because of you. It's not the minister. It's not the name on the building. It's because of you. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Mark 5 and verse 25 says, of course, this is part three, so we did have the first two parts, but I will review just a little bit so we can kind of know where we're at. But we're starting here with this story of this woman with the issue of blood. She's one of my favorite characters in the whole Bible. I can't wait to meet her someday because this woman really taught me a lot about faith, you know, and there's so much you can get from this. And so in Mark 5:25, it says, "There was a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse." She's in the desperate of the desperates. Amen? I mean, she's at the lowest of lows. 12 years, the professionals don't have an answer for her, and she's broke. And Jen was telling me, you know, she had looked up, you know, Jen's our resident medical person here, you know. We turn to Jen. She knows so much, you know, and it's been such a blessing in that way. But she was talking about this condition and what it would be nowadays and how much blood that this woman would have required each and every year to make up for that loss. And of course, there was no blood back then. And so we know that not only is she broke, as she's hopeless and helpless, she's got to be weak in body, losing all that blood, not having it replenished, and year after year getting worse and worse. And so she's at the lowest of the lows. She's at the bottom of the barrel. She's in desperation mode. I've been there. Have you? I've been there before. And so we see this here. And God, I love this because the Bible says that there were so many things that Jesus did that all the books of the world at that time wouldn't have been able to contain it. But isn't it amazing the things that did get in there? They're specific to help us. And so I get so much out of this, knowing the position that she was in. It says, "When she heard of Jesus," verse 27, "she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me?' And he looked round about her to see that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came to him, fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said unto her," and these are such powerful words, "Daughter, your faith made you whole." Your faith. And it just jumps right out at me in my heart to think about the "your" there. Because we're not talking about a person who's got the word of faith right down the road to show up to midweek services and Sunday services, or a television to turn on to get the word of faith, or to listen to Brother Hagin things on YouTube or Pastor Nancy Dufresne things. We're not talking about someone that's faithful in their church. We're not talking about somebody that's has the opportunity to go to Bible school. We're talking about just an average woman that's in her home that heard about Jesus, was able to turn that into her whole world changing. Why am I telling you that? Because I think a lot of times, you know, the people that we hear the great faith testimonies from, the reason we're hearing them is because they have a microphone, they have a platform, they have a pulpit. You hear my testimonies, you hear Pastor Michael or Pastor Nancy or the Brother Hagin stories and things like that. And if we're not careful, we'll think those things are just reserved for those people. because we're hearing them. But we've had miracles in here with people, different healings and financial things. And right now, if you're in such a better place than that woman. You are in such a better opportunity than that woman ever was. But look at what she was able to do with the force of faith when she worked it, right? And so that's my heart's cry for this series, is that people would grab this and apply it to their lives and the things that they're the lowest of the lows, at the bottom of the barrel and scraping by on and in desperation and feel no hope. They'd say, listen, this woman's no better than me, and in fact, I might not be better than her in the sense of how God views me, but I'm in a better position than she is. And so I want to take advantage of that. Praise God. She didn't have a Pastor Mike Anderson teaching her faith. But yet, look what happened. So imagine what you can do with a Pastor Mike Anderson teaching you faith, or a Brother Hagin, or these camp meetings. I mean, we are so blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see that faith can do so much. And what we saw the last 2 weeks that we had service, we saw that what faith is, because we can't go into this with a false sense of faith. Because who cares what we think about ourselves? It doesn't matter. Paul said that. He said, as far as I know, I'm not messing up. I'm doing things right, but I don't even judge myself. He said, it's the Lord that judges me. And so we might have an idea of we're in faith for a particular situation, and we might be going through the motions, but we got to let the Bible define it, because fake faith doesn't get the job done. You know, false faith or hocus pocus. No, it doesn't matter how much you think you're in faith, right? You're not in faith. And so we want to make sure that the Bible defines that. And so we saw some words in here in the Bible looking at Abraham. And what were some words that it said? And we looked at Hebrews 11:1, where it says, now faith is. It gave us the definition. We saw words like convinced. We saw words like confidence. We saw words like assurance. We saw words like persuaded. Faith is not wishing. Faith is not hoping. You know, there's two different kinds of hope. There's the hope that, oh, I sure hope that happens. And then there's the hope of it happening. So there's two different hopes, but it's not the kind of hope that, boy, that would be nice if that happened. I really hope that changes. That's not faith. Faith is confident. Faith is assured. Faith is persuaded. Faith is sold out that it is happening, that there's no chance that it's not going to happen. And remember how we saw that. We looked at the water bottle example. I know it's silly. It seems simple. But what it shows us is what true faith or belief is, right? Remember if I said if nobody was going to move and all I was going to do was open my hand, we know the bottle of water would fall and hit the ground. And I said, how many of you are convinced? How many of you are persuaded? How many of you without a shadow of a doubt know that when I open my hand, that's going to hit the ground? None of you are hoping it does. None of you are wondering if it's going to. None of you are thinking in the back of your mind, well, it might hover, it might float, something else might happen. No, you are persuaded that it's hitting the ground. Well, are you in that place with your healing? I'm talking in the midst of the physical situation, the midst of the physical symptoms that you have, are you in the place where you're like, no, I know without a shadow of a doubt, healing is mine. That medicine's going to be a goner. These symptoms are going to be a goner. This treatment's going to be a goner. Are you that way with your finances? When, you know, the bank reports and the bills are testifying one way, but faith would say, no, I know that's changing. I'm not going to skimp by the rest of my life. I'm not going to live paycheck to paycheck because God said this. Amen. What about your family? What about your jobs? What about business? Other circumstances and situations that we say we're believing for. Well, true faith is a persuasive faith. You are convinced there's no way it's not happening tomorrow, right? That in your tomorrows, it's coming to pass. Like, you know that you know that you know. We saw that. But we also saw that it's having that belief in the unseen realm. And that's where it says the evidence of what you can't see. And that's where people trip up. Because we're so used to seeing. We're so used to, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and it's dark. The first thing you're doing is either reaching for the light switch or you're feeling around. Why? Because it's terrifying not to be able to see. When you can't see it, it senses danger. Your body, your flesh, your mind does not like that. And so when we're talking about feeling something so strong in symptoms, and yet we're to be persuaded that we're healed, you can see where that trips people up, people that are sense-minded. Or financially, you know, the bills are testifying to you, the lack of paycheck is testifying to you, but you're to walk around with convinced fashion that, no, it's changing for me. Money's on its way right now to me. Increase is coming to me. And that's where people miss it and mess up. But one good thing is, we saw, you know, just like, thank God, you know, I was talking about that blind girl at JCC. Thank God there's things for people that can't see to guide them. And spiritually, yeah, we can't see the end result, anything in the natural, I should say. There's nothing to grab onto. There's no light at the end of the tunnel sometimes with these things. But God is not expecting us to walk blindly. He said we walk by faith, not by sight. He didn't say you walk by blindness. Faith is not walking blindly. There's no such thing as blind faith. Because all the faith anything that we can have faith on is always founded on God's word. The only reason Abraham, 100 and Sarah, 90, could believe that promise wasn't because they were walking in blind faith. No, they were walking by what God had said. That's not blind faith, amen? When Joshua went in to take Jericho 40 years later with Caleb, they weren't going by blind faith. There maybe was nothing natural they could see, but they had something greater than the natural. See, we have to start giving precedence to what deserves precedence. Hallelujah. Justin, can you go grab my cell phone off my desk? I need to turn the air down to 60. Actually, just hit that button up back there to 69. It should be at 70 right now, and it's a little bit warm in here. So we need to start giving precedence to things that are more important, which what? The spiritual trumps the natural. What's the spiritual? The Word of God. But so many people, the natural trumps it, and they cannot get past that, and then they never get into that place of faith. And so we're trying to help you get into a place of faith, but we first saw what it was, and now we're going to see it also help us to get it, where it's located. Because true faith is located somewhere. Go with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I forgot we don't have the thermostats locked here because we don't have sticky fingers here. South Dayton, we have sticky fingers. People like to do it. Change it themselves, so we lock it up. And I just change it by my cell phone, but... I forgot. That's why I was crying for my cell phone. You know, that's where I got it. But no. Hallelujah. I guess sticky fingers means they steal. They would steal it, but they got active fingers. Well, I'll turn that down. But Romans 10 and verse 8. Look what it says. But what saith thee? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you didn't know, we are a Word of Faith church. We are in the Word of Faith camp. Now, if you look that up on the internet, you might want to hop out of that camp because there's a lot of criticism about the Word of Faith camp. And there are people in the Word of Faith camp that have gotten into ditches. But just because there's a ditch over here, and just because there's a ditch over here, it doesn't negate that there's still a road in the middle. Yeah. Amen? And, you know, so many people will get down on the Word of Faith and they'll call us name it and claim it people, and that we can just hocus pocus with the magic wand, say whatever we want, Word of Faith, say it and name it and claim it. But that's not the gospel I'm preaching. That certainly isn't the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached or that Jesus preached or that Brother Hagin preaches or that Pastor Nancy preaches. And so he says that the Word of Faith's in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. And then he goes on and he uses an example and shows us a promise that we have to obtain, or a promise that's available to obtain and how to obtain it. He says that if you confess with your mouth, remember he said it's in your heart and in your mouth, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart, there's that second place, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So he says the qualifications to getting this promise is that the word of faith, or the word, when it says the word of faith, it's just the word. Always remember this, faith is always attached to the word. So when he's saying the word of faith, it's the word of what God says you can have. That's why you can have faith in that word. So when he says the word of faith on salvation, what he's saying is somebody heard what God said about salvation, a promise that was available to them, and the way they received it is they put that word in their mouth and they put that word in their heart. Do you see that? They put the word in their mouth and their heart, because then it goes on to say in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth. unto righteousness. So where does belief start? In the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made. Now you got to think about this. The heart, man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation or for the promise. Brother Hagin said it this way, the confession brings the possession. You believed in your heart, and that's where it started, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because that's always where it starts. In fact, I wouldn't want to rank them, but I'll just say this. As far as importance when it comes to being a person of faith, great faith, someone that gets things done, this message tonight is so key. Everything in our faith life is built off of this foundation. And I know at times the foundation isn't the most exciting thing, but if you don't put a good foundation, you know, you watch those shows, those HGTV shows and the house shows, and man, they got these beautiful trim in the bathroom and these wonderful huge bathrooms, double sinks and, you know, walk-in showers and then heated floor. I mean, it's all the bells and whistles. None of that stands. None of that can stay, have any longevity without the right foundation. And when it comes to faith, I'm hesitant. I want to say, my mind wants to say that it might be one of the most important messages on faith, but I'll stop short of that in case I'm wrong, but I know it's up there in importance. And so the Bible says that the heart, man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's talking about to receive that promise of God, two things have to happen, something here and something here. And it started here because he says, with the heart man believes, but then with the mouth confession is made. And we have other scripture that we'll look up later that back up the order of this. But go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. While I'm flipping, I'm just thinking about being so thrilled for John and Julie. You know how many years I've been believing and praying in for people to help me with some of these things, announcements, offering, fill in for me, do different things. And now we've got people showing up. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I'm thrilled about that. Glory to God. I'm thrilled about that. You know, one of my jobs and assignments, I haven't talked too much about it, but I will mention it just because Pastor Michael was talking to me about this the other day. I don't only stand in the office of a pastor. There's another office. I remember in May of 2011 when we were at the building in South Dayton, the storefront, he ministered to me at my ordination, and he said when he laid hands on me, he said, and there'll be another office that you'll step into as well. And I've known that, and that apostolic office, which is that office of raising up churches and raising up works and getting things started. And so it's something that's been developing over time, and I'm excited to see where it goes, because God's got a plan for this region. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He's got a plan and purpose for this, and I'm excited because there's people that need what we have. There's people that are hurting and that are desperate and just lowest of lows. And so I'm excited, and so praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. He said, I believed. Noah was first. I believed. Now remember, where was the belief start? He said, with the heart, man believes. So he says, I believed, and therefore, because I believed, the next thing that happened, so what's first? The believing. And the next thing that happens is I spoke, he said. He said, we also believe and therefore we speak. And so there it is telling us that faith, the spirit of faith, is in two places. But it tells us the order. It starts in our heart and comes out of our mouth. And notice this, that it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, it says we have in the same spirit of faith. Now, I mentioned this last week in South Dayton that there's many words for love in the Bible. There's phileo, there's agape, there's, oh my gosh, they're slipping my head now, but there's like three or four different words for love that might say love in the Bible or charity, but then you look them up in the Greek and they have a different Greek word. Well, it's the same thing here for spirit. This is not talking about the Holy Ghost. That same spirit of faith, if you look this up, it's talking about a vital sign, something that's vital. And how many of you know we have vital signs in our bodies? right? The vital signs, what do they tell us? They're vital because they tell that there's life or what's going on in the body and things. And so, you know, take away the heartbeat, take away the pulse and things like that, and there's no vital signs, there's no life. And same thing here. The vital signs of faith, faith has life to it. Faith has signs that show that it's alive. Believing in the heart and speaking in the mouth. Amen. And nothing in there about thinking it or wishing it or hoping it. No, it's believing and speaking it. That's the order. That's the order, glory to God. And so we need to get this down, and it all starts by getting the belief in our heart. Because what did he say? I've believed, and therefore I have spoken. Well, remember, belief is of the heart. Y'all remember the verse? Out of the abundance of the heart, remember, this is where you believe, man speaks, right? Well, how many of you know you can have an abundance of doubt and unbelief in your heart? Right? You know, faith is not always just good. You know what I mean, right? There's a lot of people that really have a lot of faith that they're never going to get well. There's people that are absolutely persuaded and convinced and have faith. Their finances are never changing. And it's in there, right? That's what they believe. That's what they've meditated on. That's what they've put in them. And what comes out of their mouth? Doom and gloom, right? Depressed, worried, fearful, anxious, no words of faith. Why? Because what's coming out of their mouth is just a representation of what's in their heart. But let me also tell you this. You know, a lot of times we've put different points and things on faith and steps on faith. And the only reason we do that is because it makes it easier to digest. I've think about times where I've had to move a mattress. Does anybody here hate moving? I hate moving. But I hate mattresses are the hardest. You should see when I'm trying to flip my mattress by myself and maneuver it, and it doesn't have handles on it, and it frustrates me. Like, how hard would it be for them to sew some handles on that? You move a mattress that has handles on it, it's a lot easier to move it, right? When you pick up a suitcase, right, you don't have to pick up that suitcase like this. No, it's got a handle on it. Why? It makes it easier to grab. Well, the steps of faith, that's what they are. They're like handles to grip them, but what people have turned it into is a formula, or they've turned it into a robotic thing, and then they never get into faith. He said, because I believe, I've spoken. If you'll take care of the belief part and go through the steps of the belief part, the speaking will be automatic. You won't sit around and think, okay, step one. I was just thinking of that Brian McKnight song. Step one, gonna have some fun. Step two, fall in love. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking of the different steps. And that's what people think. Step one, gotta believe in my heart. Step two, now open my mouth. Step three. Ever heard that song? That's what's happened. People have done that. It's like faith. There's nothing robotic about faith. There's nothing robotic. When I use this example, when my mom found out that Caleb, we don't know if it was Caleb at the time, when found out that Courtney was pregnant, we called her, and the very next day, this is no joke, we had 18 brand new outfits for that kid, showed up at our door. Neutral colors, because we didn't know yet, you know. And here's the thing. Why did she do that? She fully expected 9 months from now, there's a baby showing up. Yeah. She didn't have to think about the steps. Okay, if I really believe that there's going to be a baby, I would act excited. I would say things. I would probably rejoice if I really believe it. No. Or I would take steps in the natural that would back up the fact that I believe there's going to be a kid. None of that went through her mind. Because there was belief, the steps, the words, the rejoicing, the excitement, the telling people, it came automatic. Faith should be automatic. It's not about steps. The only reason you're in step faith and robotic faith is because you have not taken care of this first step. You take care of this first step, everything else is automatic. It's just the truth, praise God. Go to Mark 11:23. Oh, that's good, Father. You know, I've wondered, and now it just became more clear to me. We like our minds and our flesh feel better when we have something we can do. What I mean, because then we feel like something's getting accomplished, right? Like if we can put our hands on it, if we can be involved in it. You know, the hardest thing for us at times is just to sit back and chill out, right? We always want to get our nose in things. And well, the one thing that people rush to do with faith is confess. Because at the end of Mark 11:23, well, we'll read it. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things you say shall come to pass." Then it says, he'll have whatsoever he says. In those words, because we are so focused on the having, oh, I want the having, that we hear Jesus say, you can have what you say. And so what are we quick to do? Get the confession out of our mouth. Just start saying. Just start saying. Just start saying. Why? Because number one, it's us doing something natural. It's us doing something physical. We can hear our words. We see what the Bible says. Then we say it. We hear what we're saying. We in our minds line it up with the Bible and say, okay, I'm saying it. I'm saying it. I'm saying it. I'm saying it. It surely has to come to pass because I'm saying it. Right? And that's why people jump to the saying part. But what we have is a lot of people saying to their mountain, and they have that big bazooka ready to knock that thing down, and they pull the trigger, and it makes the noise, and it makes the pop, and it causes you to jump because it's loud, but there was a blank in it. And nothing but noise and going through the motions came out of that thing. It didn't impact that mountain. It didn't hit that target. And that's what happens with a lot of people. Have what you say. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Blanks. Now, it doesn't have to be blanks, but a lot of people are firing off blanks. Money's coming. Abundance is coming. Nothing's hitting that mountain. Why? You're firing off blanks. Because just Jesus said, see, most people think that that's the only part of the verse, but they forgot there's a slide before it. Go back to the verse, Kim Lai. To the beginning of that verse, please. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, you got to say. Why? Because faith is in the mouth. It is. It's how we get it. Be removed, and be thou cast to sea. Now here we go. And shall not doubt in his heart. There's the two places. The mouth and the heart. Shall not doubt in his heart. Notice this. But shall believe. Now remember what faith is. Faith isn't just, oh yeah, I believe, I hope. No, no. Faith is, I am convinced, 100% persuaded, without a shadow of a doubt, that what I'm saying to that mountain, when I say money's coming to that mountain of debt, it's really coming. When I say to my body, in the name of Jesus, you line up and you get healed, and healing is mine, you're not wondering if it's going to happen. You're not hoping. You know it's coming. But see, that's the kind of words that he said. So when he says he'll have what he said, whatever he says, he's already saying that the words that came out of the person's mouth that's going to have what they said is laced with belief. Amen. They're laced with belief. They're not just get confessions out of your mouth. We rush to the confession part without taking the time to do the first part, which was to put the faith in. And that's why we have to at times, okay, I'm supposed to confess, because the Bible says, when I'm in faith over things, I don't sit there and think, okay, I should confess today. No, it's at the forefront of my heart. It's at the forefront of my mind. I'm believing for this. I'm looking for change. I'm speaking it naturally. I'm not thinking, okay, I need to do this. Hallelujah. And so we get so quick to get to that part. I mean, imagine an army or a platoon going out in the battlefield. They're just so anxious to get out there with their guns and their all the equipment, and they never loaded the gun. That's what's happening. People aren't taking time to load the gun. Well, what do the words have to be? They have to be faith words. Even go to verse 24, it says the same thing. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. Praying's opening your mouth. Praying's releasing your faith. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. Here it is again. Believe you receive. Believe you receive. When you pray, what's that mean? What you just said and what you heard, you're believing it. Well, a lot of people are quick to pray. A lot of people are quick to release their faith, and they're empty blanks and nothing's changing. And I've had people literally, this isn't, when I say these things, I'm not just making this up for dramatic effect. I've had people faithful people sit across from me in my office and point at me and tell me the word of faith is wrong, that faith doesn't work, that this confession business, I've been confessing, and it doesn't work. Well, I believe them. I believe that they've been confessing. But Jesus didn't just say you'll have what you say with just straight confession. The confession has to be loaded with something. And just the fact that they're sitting there telling me that the word doesn't work is all I need to know that they are not in faith. Because when you are in faith, you never question if the word works. You never get tripped up on things because you're in faith. You have to understand, there's no such thing as faith one foot in, one foot out. There's no such thing as faith of, well, maybe, maybe not. No, that's double-minded. Faith is always in the attitude and the expectation that it's changing. Always. When you get out into the place of I don't know or I'm not sure, you are not in faith anymore. Amen. They're not two things here. Faith is one, doubt is one. They're not the same thing. And so we have to take care of that. Now go with me to Romans 10:17. So the very first thing that a person ought to do. Now, I'm not against confessing even when you're not in belief, because even just confessing it, you're hearing it. But I am against just confessing it and doing nothing about the belief, because just confessing it is not going to bring it to pass. You got to do something about the believing part, so when you say it, you mean it. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There you go. You can't separate the God kind of faith from the word. Why? Because you can only have faith for what God says you can have. So here it tells you right now, how then, Pastor Mike, because if we were to go back to the water bottle example and ask ourselves, I could tell you times where I didn't believe, where I was, saying I would believe, but I really didn't. Because I wasn't as convinced that the healing would show up or the finance would change or the situation would change. And so I had to be honest with myself. No. When Pastor Michael said, I'm not giving you a salary, and I was down $2,000 a month, I'm just telling you, I was not persuaded in that moment or convinced in that moment that everything was going to be okay. I was not even close to it. Well, I can sit there all day long and say, money comes to me, and they're empty words. I had to do something about it. Well, when you're facing a mountain that's bigger than your faith and doubt and unbelief, and you feel like, I don't know how I can get past this. No, this is what I want to tell you. You don't have to try to figure out how this is going to happen. If you'll just do the word, it will automatically happen. It's a spiritual law that if you'll spend time in God's word, the direct result will be that faith that you're lacking. You don't have to try to drum it up or try to think, how can I outthink this impossible disease or this impossible... No. Stop. The answer or the cure to your faith problem is just spend time in the Word. It's an automatic result of doing so. He said, faith cometh if you'll hear and hear the Word. Praise God. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. We're going to get so filled with faith, praise God. Luke chapter 4. Look what it says here. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit of the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. After they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that he may be made bread. And Jesus answered. Now look what Jesus said to him. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, you could just gloss over that verse, and it sounds religious that, yes, it's not just about food, but we need to have our Bible time. But you need to look at what the words mean. That word live is the word zoe. The God kind of life. The life that God enjoys. He's saying man can't accomplish walking into the Zoe kind of life by natural things. He's saying, if you want to live, remember Jesus said, I've come to give you Zoe and Zoe more abundantly? What is that? Zoe is health. Zoe is peace. Zoe is prosperity. Zoe is joy and victory and protection and favor. He's saying man can't do that by natural means alone, but it is possible by the Word of God. Now, let's think of why that's possible. We know that the woman with the issue of blood, or Abraham, faced things in the natural. Blind Bartimaeus, the woman whose daughter grievously vexed the devil, on and on and on. We know these people faced things in the natural that the only way they turned was based on faith. Right? It was the only way. The woman with the issue of blood. Jesus said, your faith did this. Blind Bartimaeus, your faith. The woman in Matthew 15, your faith. All things are possible if you can believe. Over and over again. So there's natural things that we face. Follow me here. I'm kind of walking you through this. There's natural things that we face that can only be changed by faith. Okay? Well, how then is faith even come on the scene? We just learned how faith comes on the scene. By hearing and hearing the Word. So Jesus is saying, now remember, you can't live in a Zoe life apart from faith, because things are going to come against you that only faith can get you back into healing, get you back into prosperity, get you back into joy. And so he's saying man can't accomplish that apart from the Word, because apart from the Word, you take the Word away, you take faith away. You take faith away, you take the ability to change situations from non-Zoe back to Zoe. So he's saying you can't live. You can't truly live and rule and reign on the earth by bread alone. The Word has to be a part of it. Why? Because the Word leads to the faith. The Word loads the gun. Amen. And that's what we're going to be looking at tomorrow morning in South Dayton and next week. Is okay, the gun's loaded. Now let's release. Amen. Praise God. Now go with me to Joshua 1 and verse 8. It'll further just, you know, back this up, and then we'll close with in 2 Peter, but Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, these verses start to make more sense to us now and see, oh, God's not trying to make my life miserable by having me be in the Bible all the time. No, He's trying to make your life the best it's ever been. And in fact, He's not looking for you to be in the Bible all the time. He understands you have a life, you have a job, but you can have the Word in your life all the time if you choose. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a second. But look what it says in Joshua 1:8. This whole scripture is based on the Word of God. The book of the, and what you do with it. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What's he saying? Speak the Word. But you shall meditate therein day and night. You know what meditate means? To mutter. What's that mean? To speak it. It means to ponder it. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then your way shall be made prosperous, and then you'll have good success. You know what prosperity and good success sound like? Zoe. They sound like Zoe, but notice you can't get there without the attention to the Word. Because when you meditate day and night on the Word, what are you doing? You are filling your heart with the right thing, and faith is coming. And then you're releasing your faith, and what are you doing? You're walking into prosperity and good success. Can't do it apart from the Word. And I know when people read this, they say, I'll never be able to have prosperity and good success because I'm not a reader. I can't sit and read my Bible. Listen, meditation and thinking and pondering and muttering things doesn't just happen with the book in front of you. You know, we have world champion warriors in the body of Christ who all day long are meditating on the doctor's report. You say, I don't have time to do this. You have time to meditate on that doctor's report all day long. You're thinking about it in your head. That financial problem that you have, that situation that's all day long, you're talking about it, you're thinking about it, you're going over circumstances and imaginations in your head, you're doing it all day long. What's my point? You have time to do this verse. Prosperity and good success is not just for the preachers who make their living in the Word and praying. What am I saying? Well, let me give you a practical example. Your needs are being threatened. It's looking naturally like your needs aren't going to be met. Well, we have an answer. It's called Philippians 4:19. You have a choice. I can leave my house with Philippians 4:19 in my head and in my mouth, or I can leave my house with the thought that they're going to foreclose on my house and then I'm not going to have enough to pay my bills. It's up to you what you meditate on. It's up to you what you think on. Same with sickness and disease. You have verses. Things on your family, turnaround changes. It's up to you what you meditate on. But if you'll meditate on the word, again, it's not just the sitting down. And in fact, I'll just tell you this. I hardly ever read the Bible this way, where I just keep going through chapter and chapter and chapter. Hardly ever. I feel like it gets me nowhere. No, I usually let the Holy Ghost guide me and lead me. Now, there's things every day I meditate on, healing and faith every day. I meditate on healing and faith every single day. Every day I pull up the same scriptures and look at healing and faith every single day. Peter walking on the water, woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus. I look at these healing and faith because constantly want to keep those in me. But then when I'm going to meditate or study the word, Lord, what do you want me? I'm not just going to go back in Leviticus and read a book that's going to do nothing for me. Oh, did he just say that? Yes, I did. I'm not saying the word can't help you and Leviticus can't help you, but I'm just telling you, most of the time you don't need it. I can't remember the last time the Levitical law saved my life. Not saying it's not right. It's still the word of God. Don't misunderstand me. You know, I've been criticized before. I don't preach that much on Revelation. Well, the reason I don't preach that much on Revelation, number one, is because I'm not led to preach on Revelation. And number two, we're not even here for most of the book. We're already in heaven. Doesn't even apply to us. A lot of that stuff is just sensational, just to get attention. I know the Bible says there's a blessing for that, read it and understand it. I'm not saying there isn't. But as far as preaching it and practical day-to-day living, it's not, you're not going to have the four horsemen. What are you going to do about the four horsemen in your finances? Nothing. The rider on the white horse for my healing, it's not going to help you that much. But Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 will. Yeah, you're right. Hallelujah. This is the truth. So I don't sit here. In fact, what I would tell you to do is I would take the scriptures that your pastor preaches and I would take those and I'd meditate on those during the week. Get that in your heart. Do you imagine if you did that for every message by the end of the year, how much further you'd be? Yeah. Instead of just, you know, people all the time, they just blindly go through the Bible and say, why are you doing that? I'm not saying don't read through the Bible if that's what you have on your heart, but that's not my main way of studying. You get lost in this thing. There's just a lot that doesn't even pertain to us, our day-to-day. I mean, it's just the truth. There's a whole lot in there. It's like, yeah. We'll talk about that when we get up in heaven. But anyways, look at this. Day and night, day and night, day and night. What's it lead to? Prosperity and good success. Well, we won't go there, but think of Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. That what? That he may observe, you know, and turns into what? Being planted like a tree, planted by rivers of living water, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Well, it's the same thing Proverbs 4 and 20, verse 20 to 22 tells us. Attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings. Their life unto the flesh, right? Life unto those who find them, health to all their flesh. Why is it? It's not the act of going in the word that all of a sudden God says, I'm going to bless my child. This is what religion would say. I'm going to bless my child while they spent an hour in my Bible. No, you spend an hour in the word, you put something in there, something else is different now. Now you got more ammunition to speak it, praise God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We'll close with this. And then I got to go counsel the newlyweds. I don't know what happened. I tried to tell them love each other. You know, I even told them right in front of the church at the wedding. You got to love one another like Jesus loved each other. But here we are, first meeting already. Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Talking about getting that belief in your heart. Because people, I know our minds always go to, how long do we have to do this? How long is it going to take? It's different for everybody. You know, there's things I can tell you. I'll just be blatant and transparent about it. It took me a while to get the belief about condemnation, to get some things out of my life from my past and things. You know, I still have people in my past that won't receive me because of my past, and it's constantly brought up to me and who I was. Well, that word was a lot harder for me, or I should say harder. It was more of an effort. You know, the Bible talks about renewing the mind of the word. Well, there's some vehicles that doesn't take as long to restore or renew that thing because it's not as damaged. There's not as much needs to be done to it. But in certain areas of our life, we've had a financial poverty mindset our whole life. Since we were little, we were told that we're never going to have enough, that we're broke. And those things got in you. And so now to believe, it's a little more work. But and you say, how long do I have to do that for? What's the process? Don't worry about that. Just spend time in the Word. The process will happen. It says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, talking about the Bible, the Word of God. He says, whereunto you would do well to take heed. Well, that's what Joshua told you, take heed to it. That's what Proverbs told you, take heed to it. That's what Psalms told you, take heed to it. That's what Jesus said. You can't do this with bread alone. Get in the Word. Take heed to it, which is what? Yeah, getting in the Bible, yeah. Taking verses with you. You know, on your lunch break, maybe pulling out your phone with a verse in the notes and meditating on it and reading it and confessing over your life and getting that in your heart. But he says to take heed, however taking heed looks like in your life. He says you would do well if you would take heed unto it. He says, as like a light into a dark place. Well, I always use the example, you know, if we were to make this pitch black in here and you light a light, everybody's eyeballs are going to that light. Right? You're just focused on it. He says, that's what the Word needs to be in your life. That's my focus. That's my focus, because that Word will turn into that manifestation that you so desperately need. And he says, do it like a light into a dark place until. He's saying, you're going to do this, you're going to look at that Word until something happens. He says, until the day dawns. What's that? That's a change. There's a dawning. When the day dawns, what's that mean? There's light being shed in the darkness. But where does that day dawn need to happen? And the day star arise in your heart. So the heart is what? Where belief is formed. And think about the things that are overtaking you and they're so big you can't even think to believe for them. Well, there's not that faith in there. But the Bible says if you will take heed to it and stay with it and stay with it, all of a sudden there's going to be a dawning or a shedding of light. And all of a sudden, you're going to be in a new position, a new place. You know, I know when it's dark and I know when it's light. It's different. And all of a sudden, you're going to be in a new place and you're going to recognize and realize, oh, the money's coming. It got to the point where literally I was excited to be $2,000 short every month because I was so convinced it was going to happen. It wasn't even a question. But now I was so excited about, how is it going to happen this month? You can get to that place, but it doesn't come through mental, trying to force something or work something up in the flesh. It comes from meditation in God's Word. And then that miracle in your heart of faith being birthed rises up, and you know it because you know when it's dark and you know when it's light. And all of a sudden, you know when you've stepped over into a place of belief where it's like, I am no longer concerned with my symptoms. I am no longer concerned with what the calendar has told me. Hallelujah. Be careful with the calendar. See, if you're worried about the calendar and letting the calendar tell you what's been this many years so it can't happen, you're already not doing the Bible. He said, forget those things which are behind. And I have not done a good job of that lately, forgetting things which have been behind, and it's hurt me. And I have to repent for that because it's wrong. And it hurts people when you don't do the Word. And we need to do the Word. And if you don't forget things that are behind of the calendar and how long things have been and how long things have taken, and you let that be your guide for how it's going to determine, you're going to stay in that place. But see, when you have that day dawn arise, that star rises in your heart, the calendar means nothing to you anymore. Time means nothing because you are persuaded it's coming. And you can get there. And there was a time where it's like, I don't know how I'm getting past condemnation. Oh my gosh, the laundry list of things and people saying stuff. But I just meditated in a message that Pastor Nancy preached for a year long, just over and over until I got it. I mean, I could imitate it with her accent and with her stutters and her pauses in it. And I would say and say and say that message. It was in my heart. And finally, it just rose up. It's like, I'm free from that now. I don't care what it looks. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I'm free from that. And then I got to a place where I was like, $2,000 a month, let's do it, let's go. Yeah. But I took time. What was the first thing I did? I'm scared out of my mind. I better get in the Word because I don't have faith for $2,000 short a month. But I got in the Word and faith came, praise God. So next week we're going to look at getting, now we know how to get it. But once we get it, now we got to release it. Amen. Father, thank you for helping us. Lord, we're so grateful to be in church. So grateful to be in church, Father. Thank you so much for our help. Can we just thank Him for our help tonight? You don't recognize and realize what this can turn into in your life if you'll heed this Word. Father, thank you for the precious Word of God. And thank you for where we're headed and where we're going. Father, I know I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit now, and things are coming up in my heart that I don't usually say, that it has seemed like it's been a tough go down here. That the plowing has been hard. There's been great turnover in people, people that were with you that are no longer with you, things like that. It seemed like you take two steps forward and three steps back. But Father, I thank you by unction, by illumination of what the Spirit has been showing me and has shown me all along, we will fulfill the plan down here. Your purposes and your plan will go forward. There's great, great opposition to this work because there's many people that are walking in deception. I'm not saying in every church, please don't misunderstand me, but there are people that are walking in deception in churches that think they're doing the right thing, not going the way of the Word and Spirit, going the way of the flesh. Again, I'm not saying every church in this area. Do not twist my words, anyone watching out there. But there's great deception, there's great opposition in this region to hold people back. And Family Church, not the only one, but Family Church is meant to be a light here. And the devil hates us. But I know that I know that I know we have turned a corner. And I know that I know that I know that things and all the plowing that's been done, be 7 years in September of plowing and plowing and plowing and disking and turning over that and watering and putting fertilizer, Word, Spirit fertilizer on that. I thank you that things are going to start springing forth in a greater measure. And it will come to pass. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the Word, for what you're doing. And if you have a lick of spiritual sense, you know in my heart I'm telling the truth. You know in your own heart that you sense things. These are not things to just keep you on the hook, on the line, you know. I do the same things here that I do in South Dayton, and we're already outgrowing the building in South Dayton and are believing God for another one. There's opposition here that's trying to stop this, but it's not going to work. Ha, ha, ha. It's not going to work. Glory to God. It's not going to work. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know all of you are born again, but someone watching now or in the future might not be. Faith is great and it's wonderful and it's a great force, but the best thing and to even get you into the place where you can get into faith is receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're watching right now or in the future when this is archived and you can say to yourself, you know, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if today were my last day on planet Earth, I want to tell you good news. You can go to heaven. You can know that you're going to heaven after tonight and not have to wonder if it's right, if it's true. No, the Word of God tells us in John 3:16, if you'll believe in Jesus, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. And we read earlier how to do that. You believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth. And so if you're watching right now and you could say, I don't know that I go to heaven. I'd love to become a child of God. I'd love to know more about this, to be able to receive what God has for me. It starts with Jesus. If you can say, you know what, Pastor Mike, I believe in him. I'm not talking with your head or with your feelings. Your head and your feelings might tell you don't understand this or it doesn't make sense. I'm talking about in your heart of hearts, deep down, you might not be able to explain it, but you can say, I believe Jesus was real. And all you have to do is invite him into your life. When this service is over, I encourage you to pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll pray that, he'll do his part. He'll save you, forgive you, make you a child of God. Faith will be available to you now. The Word of God, the things of God will be available to you and at your disposal. And send me an email. Give me a phone call. It should be on the website, and I'll help you get started because there's so much for you. You've just been reborn. And you can't just leave a baby by themselves. A baby needs to be directed in the right way, a natural baby. It's the same thing with a spiritual baby. Spiritual babies left to themselves will struggle unnecessarily, but spiritual babies that are put in the right place and in the right hands and given the right nutrition and things like that, they grow and they flourish in life, and that's what we want for you. So we love and appreciate you. Father, thank you. Thank you for souls being won to Jesus. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this place is a beacon of light. It's a beacon of hope. Thank you for things you're doing behind the scenes. Thank you. You've been working all along. Just because we can't see it or can't feel it doesn't mean you're not working. You're working. We thank you for the plans and purposes of God going forward. And we love you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you rush out of here, don't forget to put your offering in when you leave. And if you need prayer for anything, come on forward. I'd love to pray with you and agree with you or lay hands on you. So love you, appreciate you. See you next Saturday. You are dismissed.